and welcome to Girl Gotta Hike the Podcast, episode 26. I'm your host, Melissa Goodwin, outdoor guide, photographer, and founder of Girl Gotta Hike. This podcast features interviews with adventurous women, plus trail tips and hiking advice for those who want to disconnect from the daily grind. And speaking of hiking advice, that is what this episode is all about. Today, we're talking all things through hiking on a super special Q&A featuring three New York City-based hikers who are all aspiring to hike the Appalachian Trail this year. Alyssa, Michaela, and Haley have participated in many Girl Gotta Hike day hikes, snowshoe excursions, and weekend backpacking trips over the last couple of years. And it's been a blast getting to explore the outdoors with them. Hiking the Appalachian Trail had a huge impact on my life, so I was stoked when I learned that they were all independently gearing up to take their backpacking to the next level and give this thru-hiking thing a go. Escaping regular life to embark on a 5 to 6 month journey by foot is no easy feat, and there's no right or wrong way to prepare for it. There's a lot to consider in the lead up, and these future hikers had some questions about what to wear, what to eat, and how to stay safe out there. To help set them up for success, I invited everyone to gather upstate in the Catskills and enlisted two of my most favorite thru-hikers and regular podcast guests, Kelly Noceum Blosser and Lauren Woodchuck de la Vega, to weigh in on the lessons they've learned along the way. No matter if you're a newbie to the backpacking scene or a seasoned thru-hiker already, this episode is sure to teach you something, or at the very least, make you laugh along with us. So go ahead and grab a snack, your favorite brew, and settle in for some trail talk. Stay tuned after the episode to learn more about Girl Gotta Hike. Backpacking season is upon us. If you're in the market for a new pack, then might I suggest you look no further than Gossamer Gear. Whether you're heading out for your first overnight in the backcountry, planning a week-long section on one of the national scenic trails, or setting yourself up for a much longer adventure, their variety of pack styles and volumes will help you carry everything you need and keep you comfortable while you're doing it. If you're newer to backpacking, there can be a lot to keep track of, and it's likely that the gear you're gathering to go inside your pack might feel a bit on the bulky side. A pack like the 60-liter Mariposa offers plenty of room for the basics, plus enough extra to carry any additional creature comforts, while still only weighing in at just over 2 pounds. If you're one who's been at it for a while, then you've likely pared down a bit. Maybe you've switched out your heavy sleeping bag for a more compressible one, or realized that you don't need to bring quite as many layers as you once thought. If that's the case, the 50-liter Gorilla might be more aligned with your new hiking style. And for anyone who's cut it way back and found that bringing only the essentials is their preferred way of making miles, then Gossamer Gear has a pack for you too. Their G420 and Kumo 36 ultralight packs offer much more durability and come in at a lower price point than some of the other ultralight offerings out there. Whatever your hiking style, Gossamer Gear has a pack to fit your needs, and they're all loaded with awesome features like large external stretchy pockets, handy hip belt pockets, and removable back pads, which not only help give their packs some structure, but double as sitting pads too. As a special treat, Girl Gotta Hike the Podcast listeners can use the code GIRLGOTTAHIKEGOSSAMER to get 15% off your first purchase at gossamergear.com. That's GIRLGOTTAHIKEGOSSAMER, and you can follow the link in the show notes to find out more about all of their awesome offerings. Hey there, hikers. Planning on heading for the hills this spring? Whether your plan is to walk for 2 miles or for 20, there are some essential items you should have on hand to make your time on trail safe and enjoyable. A map is key for knowing where you are. A headlamp helps you see in the dark if you end up staying out later than intended. Sunscreen, extra layers, and first aid keep your body protected. And carrying extra food keeps you fueled for adventure. Of all the things to bring, the one that is most essential to my continued well-being is water. But weighing in at 2.2 pounds per liter, it can sometimes feel like a bummer to bring multiple bottles out on my back. Know what makes the thought of carrying it all a little easier to swallow? By bringing along some delicious drink mixes with me. Made with reverence, sustainably sourced, and minimally processed, Resilience Turmeric Elixir from Anjali's Cup tastes as good as it makes you feel. The golden drink mix with ginger and lemon mixes easily with hot or cold water, and the powder comes in individual packets that are ultra-light enough for even the most extreme of the gram-counting backpackers out there. The benefits of toting along some golden turmeric goodness far outweigh the weight. Turmeric is a powerful anti-inflammatory, and studies have shown that it helps to ease joint and muscle pain, improve flexibility, and is packed with antibacterial properties. All the things I want when I'm out on trail, or when I'm back at home after enduring a long day in the outdoors. Founder, fellow female small business owner, and outdoors enthusiast Anjuli Bhargava is offering Girl Gotta Hike hikers and podcast listeners 15% off your purchase. Packets of Resilience Turmeric Elixir come in 10 and 25 count boxes, perfect for popping in your pack. And if you want even more than a mugful at your fingertips, it also comes in larger serving sizes too. When you're prepping your pack for your next adventure, consider tossing in a packet or two of Resilience Turmeric Elixir from Anjuli's cup. It's like a hug in your cup, and your taste buds will thank you too. Head over to anjaliscup.com, that's ANJALISCUP.com, and enter the code GIRLGOTTAHIKE at checkout for 15% off. Does anyone have a creative name for this podcast? I was just thinking like long distance hiking, three on three, long distance hiking freshmen ask the senior. Are we like the senior class? And you all are, I mean, the freshmen. She is. Class?
You and I, yeah.
We're like incoming
senior
freshmen.
Citizens.
Incoming.
You're not freshmen. Quite there yet.
Yeah. Like, well, you did a Q&A a couple of years ago. This could be number two,
yeah,
or something.
Just a Q&A,
too.
Q&A
kind of thing. Yeah.
Whatever you think.
Ooh. I have a feeling that our title's going to come up as we as we progress in this podcast. We're going to all be like, the that's way that the it title. Goes.
Yeah. Yep.
And don't they, a lot of podcasts call it like a tell-all? It feels like a tell-all. We want to know all the dirt.
That sounds gossipy.
Yeah. So everyone, thank you so much for joining me here in Pine Hill. I think this is maybe our official, unofficial start. Welcome to Girl Gotta Hike the Podcast, episode 26. The theme today is long distance backpacking. I am very excited and proud of three of my, regular hikers who are taking off on the long trails this year. And so I want to just take a minute and say, like, I'm so excited for you all. And we are here, six of us, a little three on three incoming freshman class to long distance hiking, are going to ask questions from three people who have been there before. And I'm going to have everybody go around and introduce themselves and give just the trail you're about to hike. And we'll just start with that. So I'm going to point at you over there.
Hi, my name's Alyssa. Am I doing last names too?
Well, you don't have to. Alyssa, what trail are you hiking?
I am hiking the Appalachian Trail, and I'm starting at the end of March, March 29th, going northbound.
Excellent.
It's a good start date.
Okay, next up to my right.
Hi, I'm Michaela, and I am hiking the Appalachian Trail, also going northbound, and I'm starting on March 27th.
Excellent. And not with us in person, but with us in Zoom land is?
Hi, I'm Haley. I'm also doing the Appalachian Trail, except I'm going southbound with a tentative start date of June 5th and an unofficial trail name of Bottles.
Ooh, excellent. So I'm next in the room at the table. And as you may already know, I'm Melissa Click Goodwin. And I hiked the Appalachian Trail in 2011. And I have hiked some shorter distance trails since then.
I am Kelly Noceum Blosser. And I hiked the Pacific Crest Trail last year, 2022.
Hi, I'm Lauren Woodchuck De La Vega. And I hiked the AT in 2016, the PCT in 2017, and most recently the CDT in 2021.
Woo! A real triple crowner in the house.
She's wearing her little crown right now.
I'm wearing a little crown.
You can't see it because it's a podcast.
Okay, so I think we'll just start with questions. Like, the three of us who have been on these long distance trails, I'm sure could wax poetic about our experience, but this is not about, not yet, about our experience. I'm sure we'll go down trail story land, but we want to know, what do you want to know? It's the final stretch for two of you, just about a month to go. And for Haley, not that much longer, just a couple months. So, I know you have all been on hikes with us and you have tested out gear and you've tested out your packs and tested yourselves, but a weekend or a 3-day trip is a little bit different than a 5 to 6 month trip. So I guess I want to know, what are you all thinking about that? And we could start with whoever wants to go first.
All right. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the easy stuff, with the gear. I want to know what you guys brought as rain gear on trail and what your feelings are on ponchos.
That's a great question. Thank because you. I have the same one.
Great.
I'll start. So I had a rain jacket, a fully zip rain jacket with a hood and pit zips. I think it was just what I already had. It was an L.L. Bean rain jacket. And then I had a pair of rain pants. But as the trail progressed, the weather got warmer. I did not want to wear those rain pants anymore in the middle of summer when it was really hot. So I just like forwent. Is that the right word?
Forwarded them.
Forwarded them. I was going to say I sent those rain pants home and just didn't care if my legs got wet.
Oh, I thought you sent them forward. Forwarded them.
No? I did not forward. I forwarded them back to my home because I did not wear them anymore. So that's what I did on the Appalachian Trail. I've done a few different things on different trails since then, but that's what I started with.
I only had, I want to say, 5 rainy days on trail. That's one benefit of hiking on the West Coast. But I had a Patagonia Torrent Shell rain jacket, and then I did have a rain skirt, which I feel like if it's raining very hard, that becomes not applicable. Like it really doesn't work. But if it's sprinkling, it is a pretty useful and lightweight alternative to rain pants, and you're not completely hot the whole time. You don't feel like you're wearing a trash bag.
I wore a trash bag once, actually, when I left my rain jacket at a shelter. But anyway, I also wore a rain jacket and rain pants. But I also hiked with a couple of people who swore by the poncho. And I think it just depends on like what you're comfortable with. And if you don't have a waterproof backpack, maybe a poncho is better because it does cover the whole pack too. So something to consider, but I think it's preference too.
Yeah, I have gone now to lightweight rain jacket and rain skirt. So in that idea of poncho would probably cover the both of that. I did meet a very ultralight hiker at one point who he only had a poncho. That was also what he used as his tent.
Oh,
like he didn't even carry a tent because he started Georgia. He started in Georgia in like May. So the whole hiker bubble had already passed and he always had a spot in a shelter. He didn't need a tent. And he's like, well, if I need to like do something last minute, I can always set up my poncho as a tent. And I was like, yeah, well, that's too extreme for me. But, you know, in an emergency, your poncho could be your tent.
I did see a couple of hikers wear the ponchos that also are pack covers, which I always have found to be an interesting idea and concept. I've never explored it myself. But then you don't have to necessarily consider the weight of a pack cover, which I did not bring, but the pack liner, I think you would have that anyway, but it probably kept their stuff a lot less wet.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel like rain pants are necessary in the beginning?
I love them, I will say. I went southbound, so it's different weather and whatnot, but I actually keep them in my bag all the time because in the chance that you are in inclement weather and you start getting a rainstorm or a snowstorm, throw your rain pants on, and that's just an extra like windproof layer and waterproof layer too.
So yeah. Are we talking like real rain pants or like the frog tux?
I have real rain pants.
Okay, because I know that there's like the frog
tugs. But they're both waterproof.
Yeah.
The same, yeah.
So I've seen so many pictures of just like the frog tugs just falling apart. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I want that.
Now that you mention that, because, you know, I threw like 12 years ago, I did ditch my L.L. Bean rain jacket in exchange for, it wasn't frog tugs, but it was just like that dry ducks or something. And I had to duct tape it together all of the time. Yeah. And I ended up with, I cut off like one sleeve, like the cuff, just as a memento. That's basically just duct tape and a little bit of blue. So that's in like, you know, my AT memorabilia scrapbook. But they are very lightweight and they do work.
And they're cheap.
And I totally and completely forgot about that till right now. But then that's what I wore. That was the whole rain suit. And that's what I wore when I did laundry. Mm. In town as well.
That is key.
That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. That's what I wear my rain pants for too.
Mm-hmm. Laundry.
I did not have rain pants to wear when I did laundry, so I got to wear my puffy on the my top, and then I...
Or a buff as a skirt.
Rain
skirt.
No, I used my my rain jacket as a skirt. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was an interesting...
Cute.
Keep your legs closed situation.
I have a picture of you wearing your rain jacket as a skirt from the beginning of the PCT.
We I could did it all the way
include
to
include
in
the end. Show notes of this podcast if you want to.
I changed how I wore it in the future, but the frog togs, just an FYI, I wore the jacket when I did the Northville Placid Trail with Melissa, which is like 140 miles, and it was the first time I wore that jacket, and it had like 5 holes in it at the end, so it really is not durable. They're cheap and light, but not durable at all.
Yeah, I have like a rain jacket that is REI brand, so it's like whatever, but it's pretty long. It's almost like a skirt, so I feel like I could bring that, to your point earlier, like I think I'm gonna bring that as like a jacket slash skirt, and maybe hit some pants and send those home once it gets warmer. That's what I'm planning on doing.
Yeah,
but I do love a good poncho. I think I wore it on our last hike.
Did.
And I was like, this poncho is everything. And I was walking around.
Praise a bird.
Yeah, I was loving it.
Haley, do you have a plan yet for your rain gear?
I've got the Tarn Shell Patagonia. I was due for an upgrade in rain jacket. I've had the one I have since 2014 and wanted something that would last. And yeah, I guess follow-on question, rain pants or wind pants? Sounds like rain pants maybe, because they serve more purposes.
That's what I would say. I would say you can use rain pants for both, but wind pants won't save you in a pouring rainstorm.
Yeah.
Great.
Definitely anything you can bring one piece of gear that covers two purposes. I think I also started the AT not knowing a lot, and I had like... Yeah, windbreaker and rain jacket. And that's also why my back was 45 pounds. So, all right. Well, that was a great like gear first question. I think if we're going to talk some gear, that is, you know, one of the main things when you're setting out is, you know, what do you bring? What do you bring? So, does anyone else have any more gear questions?
I think the clothing is the hardest part. I think I have most of everything else, but like, yeah, what was your clothing setup? One outfit, do you have a night outfit?
I can start. On the AT, so my first through hike, I started out with leggings that I would wear like exercising and running in the city. Very, very quickly sent those home. They did not work for me. So the issue on the East Coast is that when it gets wet, it stays wet. So when I got sweaty or when there was rain, the leggings, putting on wet leggings in the morning was a nightmare. So right after I went southbound, so right after the 100-mile wilderness, I sent them home. Never hiked in leggings after that, except for like the day hikes. And I wound up wearing shorts, just like exercise shorts. They were like a pair of old Nike shorts that I had that I loved, and a athletic tank top that was wide enough that it covered my shoulders so that my pack straps weren't rubbing. And that was basically my outfit every day.
Same shirt, outfit. Different day.
And then I had a separate sleep outfit. And then I had also like layers, you know, so I had multiple like top and bottom layers, but that was like my core outfit that like usually I wound up just in shorts and a tank top. Yeah.
And what layers? I think that's one of the trickiest things is like the puffy, which I've got a puffy, I'm down with that. But then there's the, do you do the light hoodie as well? Or like the mid, yes. You know, the other mid-layer.
Yes. A mid-layer, like a fleece. Yes, is great. And then I also had a wind shirt, which I loved on the AT. But since then, like I kind of don't use it as much. I think like a rain jacket also works for that too. And a puffy. That was like my top layers. Was there, yeah. What did you guys do differently?
I mean, all of the cool kids just wear shorts. I am not a cool kid, so I wore pants the entire time. But also, I'm very, very white. I'm like translucent white. So that was out of protection for myself. That's also why I wore a sun hoodie the entire time with the hood up.
You were also on the West Coast.
Yeah. Very different. Yeah. I was not in a green tunnel. So you won't need to do that I highly doubt is wear a sun hoodie the entire time. My feet were wet for 100% of the Sierras. So like, I assume that's analogous to being in rain a lot of the time. So make sure you definitely have more than one pair of socks. Although I did wear the same wet pair of socks multiple days in a row, because why get another pair of socks wet? But that does mean that you definitely have a pair of clothes to sleep in that is as protected as possible within all the dry bags. A pair of socks or booties. Like, I have the Enlightened Equipment down booties. I love them. And then whatever you want to sleep in, depending on weather. And I have my mid layer is a Senchi Ren hoodie.
I don't even know what that is. I don't know those words.
Google Senchi, it.
Yeah.
Google it. It's a very lightweight, very merino, soft. It'll
it's a
pull.
Bit see-through.
Yeah, you can't.
I don't know, in case anyone like was gonna wear it.
Yeah.
Not anything under it. No, it's see-through.
It's not a laundry day outfit.
Yeah,
not at all.
Stick to the rain skirt.
You would scandalize everyone with the rain skirt, but. Yeah, no, it's very lightweight though, and I really it will start to stink, but that's what happens with merino. My bra was a Patagonia Barely bra. I highly recommend it. I love that bra, and I also
wore. That was gonna be my next question.
I wore the Patagonia and Smartwool underwear. I only brought two pairs while on trail.
Thank you.
I feel like my clothing has changed over the years. I did start the AT without even what we've talked about so far in whatever, however long we've been recording, amount of minutes. Like, I didn't know this much about clothes. So I just kind of brought what I had. And so I went through this major progression. And so I think there is, being an East Coast trail that you're all hiking, you do have access to towns. Like, if you want to err on the side of starting with more, I'm just going to say bring it. If you're not sure, you can send it home. It's not like you're going to be 15 days from town and you have to carry it forever. You are going to hit a hostel. You're going to hit a town. You're going to hit a post office and you can always send it away. But I will just say I carry a lot less underwear than I used to. I think I carried 5 pairs of underwear with me on the AT. Wow. You know, I whittled that down over time. So I think by the end of the trail, I had 2, maybe 3. I did always carry 3 pairs of socks. And I go back and forth with wearing also liner socks. So either the Injinji toe socks that separate your toes a little bit. They didn't exist.
Oh, Haley's holding them up. She has a package.
I love them.
Fantastic.
I wore them today. I wore them today too. Injinji's didn't exist 12 years ago, but I still wore liner socks. And I have to say that on the whole AT, I had 1 blister. So I would wear 1 pair of liner socks and 1 pair of Darn Tofts or Smart Wools one day, and then I would switch the next day and I would wear the other pair. But my 3rd pair of regular socks was just for sleeping. So I carried a lot of socks.
Yeah.
In total, that's 5 pairs.
Sleep socks are only sleep socks.
Mm-hmm. And that gave me, when it was really wet, I knew I had at least a not as wet pair to wear the next day. Or I would tuck them into my sleeping bag with me. And then your own body heat kind of helps to dry them out a little bit. Because there were many days on the AT where we had rain in a row for multiple days. So your socks, everything's going to feel wet. But if even just like a little bit of dryness in the morning did for me feel a little better. In terms of clothes, I started early in March and it was very cold. So I had a thermal base layer and long pants, a thermal top, you know, long sleeve top, synthetic. I wore a long sleeve, just basically running shirt. I think it was like a Nike synthetic shirt, and then a fleece, zip up fleece. I didn't have a puffy on the AT at all. I only had a fleece.
Really?
Yeah. And then I had a rain jacket. So my fleece was my insulating layer. But that worked. That worked for me. And I did wear leggings at night. And on cold days, I would wear leggings under shorts because I did eventually get rid of my pants once it got warmer and just went to straight running shorts. And then as the weather got colder, as I got more north, I got something back, you know. So whatever you send home or have somebody designated to keep stuff for you. And, you know, you can just say, can you send those back? That works.
if you're anal like me, you'll label like, this is shirt A whatever, and you will tell your mom or whoever is sending you, and you have a list on your phone, and you say, Mom,
I want a spreadsheet, if you will.
I mean, yes, it's in Excel.
It's in Excel. And call it what you wish.
And you print it out for your mom, and you say, organized. Mom, I would like shirt number A, and she will mail that one to you.
That is wonderful. Like, okay. I don't know, Mom. Look, like, there's look like it should be the green one.
I did not want to have that conversation. Right. And no, I know my mother very well. Yes. I knew I would have that conversation. So I said, there is a sticker that has an A on it. I would like that one.
That's great. I love that. Yeah.
Sorry, Mom, if you're listening.
Actually, shout out to your mom. She left me trail magic on the CDT.
She did.
And yeah, and dad. I still haven't met her. Yeah, I still haven't met them in person.
That's
but
so nice.
I know. I know.
But your Rachel, your trail angel friends in Tehachapi have met them. My dad wanted to send her a Christmas card.
Oh my gosh. So sweet.
You'll meet a lot of people along the way who help you out in some way or another. And if you can, if you remember, like, get their address or at least get their email or something, you know, follow them somehow. I thru hiked with my dad and, you know, people gave us rides and they, you know, let us stay in their place. He was really good at getting their addresses. And then we made postcards at the end of the trip, you know, to send out. And we sent them everywhere. And I have gone back and visited the AT, done different sections here and there. And it was like 5 years after I first did it. I did the first week again with a friend, you know, I kicked her off and we did the first week of the AT. And mine and my dad's postcard was still on the wall.
Aww.
Like in.
That's so nice.
So what town was it? Not Dahlonega, but we can edit this out. Donnie's holding us a sign. Do we want water?
So sweet.
So last time, me and Kelly,
telling us to drink water,
did like drink water together, a Q&A. He just kept bringing us whiskey. So I think that like water is the better option.
That's a better option than whiskey.
It's a better option today. Yeah. After a long hike.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Let's see. All right. So those are great questions so far. We've talked about rain gear. We've talked about clothing layers in general. Do you feel like we satisfied those? Do you have more? Do you have follow-up questions?
I have a shoe question.
Okay.
So I like my shoes now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like with 30 pounds on my back and miles underneath my feet, will I like those shoes again or still? Do I buy them again? Can I go into a place and try on different ones? Like, how will I know that I need different shoes? Do I need to buy a different brand or, you know?
That is a good question.
So you know the shoes that you're starting with.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And they're comfortable for you.
Great. For now.
You will know when they're worn out, they're going to just fall apart. And when they fall apart,
when they're falling apart,
then, or maybe a little bit before they're falling apart, you'll go to the town to like an outfitter. And a lot of the trail towns along the AT will have outfitters and they know hikers are coming through. So they kind of stock up on those types of things.
And I think they stay stocked with like what the brand du jour is. So if, you know, everyone's wearing Ultras, they're going to have Ultras. If people are wearing Keens, they're going to wear, you know, they're going to have that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So you might be able to get the same ones, or you might get something similar or
Or totally I think different. I got mine at REI and I think they were on sale because they're Hokas, so they're the sixes, so the sevens are coming out, so I don't know that I'll find sixes on the trail again, so I'm worried that I might have to get the sevens, or maybe I'll hate them and I'll have to completely switch to a different brand.
I switched on the AT. I went through 5 different pairs of shoes and 4 different brands.
I did basically the same thing on the AT.
But that was also 2011. So like Amazon wasn't really a thing. You could still get online shipping. You could order something and have it sent to the next town, to the next hostel or whatever. But it wasn't as instant, things weren't as easy to come by. So sometimes it was just like, I'm in this town, I hate these shoes. What do you have? I'm trying anything. So I did that like twice, one of those times found a really great pair of shoes, absolutely loved them, tried to replace them with something else, and ended up, they were like a not waterproof version, but I kept getting sent the waterproof version, and it was August and like raining and muddy, and my feet were just sweaty and hot and gross, but they were more comfortable than anything else. So I finished the AT with these absolutely stinky, disgusting shoes that, like, we, after 2 minutes in the car, like, found a dumpster and, like, threw them
My
out.
Last pair of shoes that I got on the AT were Chacos, and I finished the AT in those and never looked back and hiked the whole PCT and CDT in them. What I will say is I went through 5 pairs of trail runners on the AT. I went through 2 pairs of Chacos on each of the other trails.
Wow.
But
you have to be comfortable wearing sandals.
Yeah. With socks, just to be clear.
Thank you for clarifying.
Sockos.
I was not picturing socks, so I'm glad you said that.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yep. Same.
Yep.
I would say definitely if you're starting, not zero drop, do not go and try zero drop in the middle of the trail. That, I think, would be a very big mistake. So don't go to ultra if you're not starting in ultra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What did you wear, Kelly?
I wore the ultra lone peak.
The whole way. And you were used to those before that, too.
I wore Lone Peak 5.5 or something, and then Lone Peak 6.
Cool.
That's what I got.
All right.
Nice.
And how, and have you tested them for a number of miles or with the current, like the, about the weight that you're going to be backpacking in?
Not yet. Only the miles that I walked with Alyssa. So like 10 miles with like 18 pounds or something
okay.
like that.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, your feet, regardless of if you've worn the shoes a million miles already, there is something different about the day after day after day, you know, even if you've done a week long trip or a 2 week long trip, it's a different thing than a six month trip. So your feet may change, right? So the shoes that work for you now that you love, there is that possibility that the shape of your feet are going to change, or certain things are just going to feel a little differently with the repetition. So while sometimes it might feel like these are on sale, let me buy them now, I think there's enough sales now, there's enough shoes available, shipping's easy enough, I would hold off just to make sure. You know, just to make sure, maybe you want to go up half a size in the future, or maybe you didn't want ankle support when you started, but you do later. Or I started with boots, but then I didn't want ankle support. So
a note on shipping, if you do ship anything to yourself from a like an REI or Zappos or wherever you get shoes, if you are going into town that only has USPS, general delivery, most of those companies will not send them general delivery, and especially not USPS. So UPS and FedEx, if you're going to a hotel or a restaurant or where a convenience store, wherever you're picking up your resupply, that's easiest. But if it's USPS general delivery, don't have anything sent there that's not coming from your mom.
That is a good point. And even if you're not staying in that hostel, a lot of times you can ship a package to that hostel and you just pay $5 to pick it up. So it is like, you know, a convenience thing for you and supporting a small business to pay them. I would say, like, don't worry if you don't think you're going to stay there. You could still get something shipped there. Cool. We covered shoes. We covered socks. Covered clothes. Any other clothing related outerwear, underwear? We talked about underwear a little bit.
Yeah. Can I add to that?
You can totally add to that.
Okay, because I don't think I told my underwear thing. Oh. And it's different.
Do you have an underwear story?
Uh-oh. No.
Some people go no underwear.
I mean, my pair of shorts had built-in underwear. Mm-hmm. And
perfect.
That's it.
Yeah. My running shorts.
That's the story.
I'm bringing like a mix. I have like a pair of shorts that have the running thing and everything else does not. So I'm just like, am I going to be mixing and matching? Undies, no undies? Probably.
Yeah.
You do you.
You do you.
Some guys.
There's no wrong way to wear
on the AT. I don't know if this is still a thing, but like
kilts, hiking kilts.
Mm. Henry wore a
kilt. Did he wear a hiking kilt? Is it an AT thing?
No, it was on PCT.
It was on PCT too.
No undies.
But the guys don't wear undies.
No undies?
No, otherwise it's a skirt.
You're like...
It's a kilt if you don't wear underwear. If you wear underwear, it's a skirt.
Oh,
that's, there you go. That's what gotta my husband then. Says about okay. it. So,
I'm sorry. If you're, it's not a, okay. you know, what you may want to see it, you may not want to see it, but if someone's in front of you going climbing over a log and they're wearing kilts, like,
you know, just be might want to see it.
Might wanna see it. Yeah.
That brings me to my next question.
Oh, my God.
Pink blazing.
Well, we can move right along to a whole nother topic if we want to.
That's I fine. Actually have an adjacent question.
Go for it.
For short wearers, what is your preferred method of like anti-chafing? Because that's been like a concern for me if I'm wearing shorts, if I'm going to chafe a lot.
Vaseline.
Mm-hmm. I have a small body glide stick that's like a mini deodorant kind of thing. So it's a solid and then you can just, yeah, put it between your thighs. In a pinch, you can use like
Vagisil works great, actually.
Yeah, and it kills it before it starts.
That's Vagisil's tagline. You didn't know.
That makes it sound like an infection, though. I mean, it's not an infection, right? Yeah. And it is. Right? It's chafing is bacterial.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
I didn't. What is chafing? Then? Can we go back a little bit? Because I thought it was just your skin like rubbing and itching. Is
no,
it not?
No, it's like a fungus kind of thing. Yeah.
Really?
It's wow. It's caused. Yeah.
Oh, look, Michaela's writing it down.
I literally was Googling so much chafing. I was very concerned about chafing. It ended up being NA for me. But also, right. I do. But when I wear these pants that I have on at the moment, I do chafe like where my hip belt is.
Oh yeah.
I use Squirrel's nut butter.
Yeah, that's a popular one too.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, yeah. My mind is blown right now. I feel like I've heard about chafing, but I did not know that it was like
I think it's
caused by the rub and the friction, but then it stays. It's fungal.
Oh.
I chapped. I could be completely wrong. Someone should fact check
I wonder
check
if
this.
It's that it can get infected because it's opened. It's like technically open wounds. I love that I we're just know. Theorizing now.
Yeah.
We're like, all right, so this is now.
I should Google it.
This is a chafing podcast.
Well, so that's something that happens, right? You just theorize a lot out on trail.
And then you're like, I should Google that when I get into town. Yeah, and then you do not.
You never Google it. I know on the Northville Placid Trail, we had a two Google lists because there was no cell service. And I don't think we Googled anything once we did get to town. So it does kind of tell you like what's important is if you actually remember to Google it. But chafing, I think the other common recommendation for areas that, you know, what's going to cause chafe, sweat, what's causes it, salt sticking to your skin. So if you do have the opportunity to like give yourself a sponge bath more often, you know, wipe yourself down at the end of the night or partway during the day, especially on the AT in the summer, you can, you know, hop in lakes and streams, like just rinse some of that salt off because you also got sunscreen on and there's a lot of things that can rub, but that would help a lot. And, you know, yeah, I would say that.
Because it's pretty common, right? Like most people get it.
I don't know that I had a ton.
I chafe in regular life. So yeah. I'm like on the ATM, I chafe a lot.
I don't know that I chafed a ton, but like I did. There were times it was like I chafed between my butt cheeks. And you're like, that's weird.
That,
yep.
That definitely.
But I carried
all the same stuff. You use all the same stuff.
I carried.
Wipe appropriately,
foot
ladies.
Powder. I carried a little bottle of.
Gold Bond. And Gold Bond is gold.
Really good. And so it's a really small bottle. I would put that.
You could powder yourself up down there at night and it has this little bit of, it's almost like minty fresh. Like it's like a
menthol-y.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. This is a fellow guide of mine once said that someone she worked with referred to it as a breath mint for your butt. And like, I love that. And like, and it's so good. It's so true. And I also would put it on my feet at night. Like it just kind of felt fresh.
Yeah, I would powder my feet. I would powder my feet before I put my liner socks on. And then it just caused everything to glide smoothly. So that is, and you can find that
pretty much in any Dollar General that you go come across. It's not a hard thing to find, whereas, you know, some other specific sport, you know, butters and stuff, chafe, anti-chafe stuff, or stuff like cyclists use. Yeah, you're not going to find in rural Tennessee.
I'm very wrong. It's just friction.
I love that you looked it up.
But now you know
it could get infected. It definitely could.
It could get infected.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah, it definitely could get infected.
Yeah. Any other thoughts or concerns about those kind of health issues? Any kind of health or...
No, I feel like most things are not planned, right?
I was going to ask if you had any injuries or sickness on trail.
I rolled my right ankle in Maryland, just south of Penmar Park. That's the Maryland-Pennsylvania border. It is super rocky, and my foot got stuck between two rocks, and I kept going, but my foot didn't. So I ended up rolling and twisting my ankle. And I always carry an ACE bandage. So I like popped three Advil. I wrapped my ankle like no one else was around. And then I just used my trekking poles like crutches. And I went the next mile and a half like that. Anyway, my ankle was black and blue. And I just had to ice it. We didn't zero almost at all, but we zeroed in this town. I iced my ankle the whole time. And then I got a stretchy brace and I kept going, Made it all the way to New Hampshire, rolled it again. Oh, same ankle, bigger rock. I ended up with like a hard-sided air cast because at that point I was like, I'm finishing this trail. But but yeah, I rolled my ankle twice. It wasn't trail ending, but I had to make accommodations for it. And then I would say then for the next couple of years, if I tried to like sit in like child's pose or do any yoga thing, like I would always feel that in my ankle. And now 12 years have passed and I don't really notice it anymore, but I probably did some kind of ligament damage. It wasn't a break. It wasn't an injury that required a doctor, but maybe I would have seen a doctor if I wasn't gung-ho on finishing the AT. Yeah.
Yep.
But that's my biggest injury. Other than that, plenty of cuts and scrapes and, you know, nothing major. What about you guys?
I think, sprained ankle is a very, just very common.
You're gonna roll your ankle
almost daily. So sometimes it'll be worse than others. One time it was worse than others, but I was by a stream. I immediately put my ankle in the really, really cold water. There was snow, so then I put it in my CNOC bag and bladder and iced it. I mean, it was black and blue. It didn't feel great for a couple hundred miles, but it was fine.
I thought
you were going to say like a couple miles.
A couple hundred. That's, yes.
Yep. I mean, I still have less mobility in that ankle than I do in the other because I've tested it, but it is what it is. Otherwise, no, I didn't. I think my lack of injury honestly has a lot to do with how I prepared and the type of in my workouts what I was stressing and emphasizing and strengthening around my knees, my shoulders, strong low back and midline in general, and ankle mobility. I think I give all the credit to my trainer who gave me great programming specifically for prepping for the PCT.
Shout out Whitney Hubbard. I was just going to say,
shout out.
Whitney Hubbard, CrossFit right. South Brooklyn.
That's right. I have a triple crown that I've come up with. Triple crown injuries. First I thought, well, honestly, for all three trails spending about 15 to 20 months hiking outdoors in the backcountry, I have very little injuries. And I have to just be grateful for that because that's not the case. Injuries of people that I hiked with really got me off trail, or really got them off trail rather. And, but the first thing that hit me on the AT was the knees. My knees started killing me like a couple weeks in. I use duct tape to create kind of a brace. Like I just put like a kind of tight band below and above my knee, got to town, got like a regular little brace, wore that for a bit, felt fine after the whites. And then I got neurovirus on the PCT, which is a nightmare that I think everyone has heard about.
It is kind of. You got it on the PCT.
I got it on the PCT.
Yeah, I hear of it more commonly these days on the AT, but is it any long distance trail?
I would say.
Okay.
Anywhere where there's a highly populated group of people. What I will say is it's in the news right now that it's going around New York City. Mm-hmm. It goes around schools. Mm-hmm. So it's like a really big thing in like elementary schools, right? It's anywhere where there's unsanitary groups of people. A friend I hiked with got it on the Trans Catalina Trail. Because you have to stay at campgrounds. So I got it at Kennedy Meadows. It was no fun. Like stuff coming out both ends, like all the gross things that you don't
want.
And
that's hard enough when you're at home.
It's so horrible.
How did you manage that on trail?
Oh, so so
shout out Rachel.
Shout out Rachel again. And Ian and Emma and Tila. I was at Kennedy Meadows. There's no cell service there, but down the road there is at this spot where you can like get food. So I went down the road to this spot and got Wi-Fi and reached out to Rachel, who's the trail angel that I most recently stayed with in Tehachapi. And I just said, hey, do you know, she knows the trail community. I said, do you know anyone in Kennedy Meadows? And I'm really sick. And she said, no, I don't know anyone in Kennedy Meadows. I'll be there in 4 hours, I think it was. It was like a 4-hour drive. She like put her two really little kids at the time in the car, came and got me, brought me back to her house. I bet her husband was like, why are you bringing this like sick hiker? You just dropped back off a trail a few days ago back.
Stray.
Yep. This is stray. And I laid on their couch and I was like, I mean, he admitted to us later that he actually like checked to see if I was like still breathing in the morning because I was like so like not well. And they created what they called a wellness bubble because the kids like to play with me. So in order to keep the kids away, they said like, Lauren's in a wellness bubble. You have to stay, you know, 10 feet away from her. And it was this like really sweet thing. And they nursed me back to health. And so that happened. And then I guess actually backtracking. So that was in Kennedy Meadows. But the first time I went through Tehachapi, so when I actually first stayed at Rachel's family's house, I was walking to a Denny's. So this is the third of my triple crown injuries. This one is a warning for being in town. So in town, you're going to forget that you can also get injured in town. Mm. So I saw that to get to Denny's, which that's where we were going to eat, that I had to go like all the way down this one road and then cross over these train tracks and then go all the way back down. And essentially right from my hotel, you could see the Denny's. So we're like, forget it. We're just going to walk across this field, right? So we're walking across this field and we get to this ditch and it's like darker and everyone's just like kind of leaping over the ditch. And I leap and I fall in the ditch and land on my ankle. And I immediately was like, it's broken. That's it. It was so swollen. It was so awful. It wasn't broken somehow. So I stayed in town another day. That's when we met Rachel. She took us, angel, took us into her house, led us. It was hike naked day. So, which is summer
first
solstice.
Day of summer. Yep. Yeah. Just so you know.
So it was hike naked day and I wanted to hike on hike naked day, but also my ankle was hurting. So she took us so we could do this 7-mile stretch, which you could get into Tehachapi from like either 7-mile stretch. So we did that and I was like naked and limping. And like, I'm just going to do this like just for a little bit. And then I was like, that was ridiculous. So I guess all of that is just to say like injuries are not just going to be like injuries. It could be sickness. It could be, right? It could be something that you are in town and something happens. Like I've heard so many stories of hikers who get injured in town. And it's just like you go out drinking, you're with all the hikers, you know, you're like partying or whatever happens. And
yeah, just be careful out there.
There are injuries like that that are worse, that are trail ending for some people.
Yeah.
Or they have to go get a cortisone shot or something like that. So I would say I would always start like tripping over rocks or sliding on roots at like an hour and 45 minutes after I ate. It's like as soon as I started getting a little fumbly, a little stumbly, it was like,
eat and drink.
You know what? I need to eat. I need to drink. And that would always get me like right back to walking normally.
Oh, can I say another thing that happened to me?
Yeah.
That's not an injury. My body odor started smelling like ammonia on the AT.
You may have already heard this on a different
podcast,
but cover it again.
I mean, yeah. There's really not much to cover. It's, you know, protein deficiency and amino acids. And so I couldn't take in as much as I needed to. The weird thing was I wasn't losing weight. It was just like there was something in my body. Apparently, it could be really dangerous if it goes on for a while. It can lead to kidney failure and all this stuff. So
you find out
what it was?
What it was and how did you remedy it?
It was a mix of things. Like everyone on the internet wanted to tell me what it was, you know.
Classic.
So there's
every
that.
Older hiker is going to want to tell you what it is too.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
Man. Yeah. Every older man.
Every man
hiker
who reads hiker blogs. No, but.
But doesn't actually hike.
It was a couple of things. So we actually stayed with our friend Kim's parents, Carrie and Pat, in Harper's Ferry. We decided when we were asking Kim to connect us with her parents to stay there. She's a trainer. And we were like, okay, so this is happening to me. I imagine it's like over exercise. What could this be? And her brother, she was like, oh, you could stay with my mom. My mom's a nurse practitioner. And my brother is, I forget what her brother is, but he's really into working out and weightlifting and stuff. And he was the one to actually figure it out.
Nice.
And her mom was like, that's not good. That's not good that you're smelling like that. But yeah, it was kind of like the family,
so,
a family effort.
And so how
really.
Did you end up remedying?
So I got this amino acid powder that I would just add to my drinks the same way you'd add like electrolytes.
Okay.
It was just another like supplement.
Mm. Yeah. Awesome. And it did the trick?
No. I should add. And I started eating a lot more protein and all that. And I still had it for the rest of the trail. It was just like a little more bearable. And then, and also I think when I got further south and it was cooler, I wasn't sweating as much. So I wasn't noticing.
Okay.
And, but after the trail, it was okay until the next year on the PCT. It came back a little bit. But yeah.
Okay. Henry still married you?
Oh yeah. It was bad. Yeah. Like I went up to one of our hiking friends. I'm like, yo, I smell. And he's like, no way. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, I smell too, whatever. And we were joking. And I was like, no, really. Like smell this. And he was like, oh. Because it smells like chemical. It's like chemical cat pee. It's so gross. Ah, I know. My husband loves me so deeply. We weren't even married then.
I know.
We're engaged. Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Maybe it's a pheromone. Maybe that's Maybe.
It's how you get them.
Something good about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, though, that was very helpful. You know, those are things that people are weird things are going to happen out there.
Yeah. Weird things are going to happen out there.
The odds of you getting sick or getting injured are extremely high, but it's how you kind of react to it and how. Like, I have a friend, like, the whole trail, something was wrong with her. Unfortunately, this poor woman just had a hell of a time, but she just kept going and she made it to the terminus. So, it's just kind of how you approach the whole thing and make sure your mental game and your mental health is also kind of in check. And if it's not, get off trail, take a zero, do whatever you need to do to get it back to being right. I don't think that is stressed enough.
Yep.
That's
great advice.
I think that's, yeah. No one told me that.
When in doubt, take a zero or two or few.
Yeah. Our method was like no zeros, go. Neros. It was like mostly Neros, you know, hike 2 miles from the last shelter into town. Or, well, what do you say a Nero is now, Kelly? 15 miles.
I mean, 10.
On different trails. Yeah. On different trails.
10 miles or less.
Daily max. 10 or less. A little different.
Yeah.
Those won't be my Neros.
Yeah. Any burning questions? What'd you write down? Yeah, I see a lot of notes being taken. Yeah, no, this is amazing. Yeah.
Let's see.
Haley, what about you? Got any more questions over there?
I got a ton.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Well, I guess one specifically for Kelly, because I think you're solo. You know, here a big part of hiking culture is hitchhiking, but as a solo female hiker, I don't feel comfortable doing that on my own. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if you've met people at trailheads or tramleys, but when you're just on your own and you need to get into town or it's a traditional hitch spot, like, what did you do?
Yeah, I was really nervous about hitching at first too. And so the first several I did, it was definitely with people. Once I became more comfortable with it and just circumstance, frankly, it wasn't horrible. And as a female, every single time, actually, I was picked up by another female, and more than once they said, I would not have picked up another hiker or anyone else, but you looked nice and you're also a female. You don't look like you're going to kill me. So there was already some kind of like mutual, we're not going to kill each other. We are both going to trust each other kind of thing. And so I never felt uncomfortable getting into a hitch. So I think go with your gut, of course, but it's not as horrible as it seems like it could potentially be.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Alyssa and Michaela, are you planning on going it alone too?
Yes, I will be doing it solo. So also I had that same question of safety while hitchhiking. And also just like generally on trail, something my mom keeps bringing up is how do you protect yourself against people that you might get weird feelings about while you're on trail? Like, you know, if you get some weird vibes, how do you safely exit from that kind of situation?
Well, I'll say this, my experience on the AT is everybody looks out for each other, like almost instantly. And I did hike with my dad, but we didn't hike together every day. And I know I've mentioned this before, but 3 days in, I was hiking by myself, and this couple passed me going the other way. And they were like, hey, we see you're a solo female. We're trail maintainers. We work on the trail. We just want to let you know that we've heard about this guy who is a little bit sketch. You know, they're like, we don't exactly know what's going on. He doesn't seem like a regular thru hiker. Maybe he's down on his luck. Maybe he's just kind of living out on the trail. But we've heard some rumors. And so we just wanted to like warn you, essentially. And they told me what his tent looked like, and they told me that he had, you know, a dog like with him, and they told me what kind of dog he had, and I was just like, whoa, thank you, you know. And so day goes by, my dad meets up with me, we continue on, and then there's this guy off on the side, and we were planning on camping in that spot where he was, and then we're like, nope, not gonna camp there. So we just kept going, but he tried to like sell us some gear, so you're like, oh, hey, I got this stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you want to buy it from me? I'm like, no, I don't need any waterproof spray. Thank you. You know, which according to these.
Always buy a waterproof spray if someone is selling it to you.
Yeah. Maybe not from a guy with two pit bulls and a yellow Kmart tent, but you know. No,
never do that.
But yeah, but I was really like blown away 3 days into the trail that mm-hmm. like how much like. The trail maintainers, the trail angels, the hikers, the day hikers, like for the most part, everybody is looking out for each other. And if there is ever a sketchy person, which of course there are going to be a few, but you hear about them and you learn to like navigate around it. And I think fellow hikers will band together. And it's been positive in my experience, but I was never one-on-one with anyone in that. Well, I don't think so.
Or I've blacked it out. Not to age you, Click, but there's now Guthook far out. That the comments, and especially if it's in a trail town, you will automatically see, like, there was in Tehachapi, there was this sketchy guy called like Silver Ponytail Guy. I don't remember his name, but and all the female hikers were like, ladies, watch out. Like, mm-hmm. this guy, he drives this car. He looks like this. Just don't. He will say he's a trail angel offering you a ride. Just don't get in that car.
So they were leaving public comments on the app?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So there's that, and there is the scuttlebutt in the trail community. You'll just kind of hear. But if
I love that use of the word scuttlebutt. That was so perfect. Yeah.
I like that word.
That was like a perfect usage of it. Yeah. Sorry. Keep going.
Yeah. Also, if you are like, you're tired and you're like, oh, you have that campsite that you want to get to, you know, it's there and you're like, and there's someone there. And just I think us as females in general, especially since we live in New York, like we have some kind of sense about mm-hmm. it. And if you sense that it's not right, just keep walking. You have more miles in you, even though you're tired, just keep walking and go find the next site that is available. Again, just use that gut that we all unfortunately have to use all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I second that. Trust your intuition. I hiked with a partner, but we hiked separately throughout the day. So oftentimes people would mistake me for a solo female hiker. And a lot of times it wasn't the hiking community, like it would be day hikers or like people would be like, oh, are you hiking this alone? You know, and just say no. Say you have a hiking partner. Oh, you know, they should be coming up any minute. You know, there's a lot of things that you could say that a lot of times your ego is going to want to be like, yeah, I'm doing a lot, you know, or like, no, yeah. I have a partner. Does that make it any less? You know, like whatever like sass you want to maybe like say to stand up for yourself. Oftentimes just think of like, oh, I don't know. Some people, it's worth it to just be like, no, I have a partner, they're back there. And oftentimes you'll know a few of the people behind you, a few of the people in front of you, know they're up ahead, but you know, probably the people you just passed, they're waiting for me at lunch or whatever. There's easy ways to just kind of like skirt around that. You don't have to tell anyone anything you don't want to.
I did have a friend who grew up in Brooklyn, and he was he could not believe that I was not bringing a weapon of any kind with me.
I was just going to say, you could also just bring a gun.
That's what my grandpa told me to do. Yeah. So
he was like, you're not going to bring like a razor blade or anything? I was like, no, Casey. He gave me a packet of box cutters.
I was there. It was at her going away party. Oh, how
cute. And they were they were like from the dollar store, and they were plastic and extremely lightweight. And I actually took one just because I was like, this guy, he's being very insistent. Aww. And I used it to open my resupply boxes, and it was great.
That's
fantastic.
And I was
saying,
I have a funny story that some lady asked me in California, like in Northern California. She was like, are you carrying protection? What are you using for protection? And I said, oh, yeah, I have birth control. Because she knew I was hiking with my partner. And she's like, what? She was asking if I had a gun. What are you using? That was it. What are you using for protection? I said, I take birth control. I take it every morning. I was like, oh, the other kind of protection. That was really the funniest.
Yeah, that is a question people will ask. There's like
people want to know the
standard answer. Mm-hmm. There's these standard questions.
Yeah, like, I want to know if I should bring condoms. That's more on
that
my
kind
mind.
Of protection.
Have you run wild? I mean, I've heard that there's hookup culture, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Should I bring one just in case? Should I bring multiple? It's called pink blazing. People do it all the time.
Pink blazing.
Yeah, okay. We want to describe.
Yeah, that usually it's the guy slows down and walks the pace of the woman.
Assuming that the woman's hiking slower.
Yes.
It's like a mating dance.
That's what he's slow down to your pace. Blazing in that scenario.
So blazing,
just if you haven't heard this before. So the Appalachian Trail is blazed with white paint markers, 2 inches wide by 6 inches tall. You're going to see them the whole trail. So that's the white blazing. Blue blazing are other trails that may cross the Appalachian Trail are often blazed in a different color. So blue blaze, it might be like a safety walk around. Like some ridges are very exposed, but you can take the blue blaze around in bad weather. Yellow blazing is a play on that, where it's like you're skipping sections of the trail by following the yellow blazes of the highway, right?
You're hitching a ride.
You're not actually hiking all of the trail. But yeah, pink blazing is following a love interest of any gender.
Wherever they go into town, you go.
I trail angel and hosted hikers that introduced me to rainbow blazing, which they call just getting off trail for anything that's like spontaneous and fun and has nothing to do. Isn't that great?
That.
Yeah,
cute.
Rainbow blazing. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Shout out to Flo and Hippie and.
Yeah.
There's no blazing on the PCT except. Like the term pink blazing has followed.
That's really funny because the PCT doesn't have like, at least not in the south, it doesn't have tall trees to paint.
Desert.
Yeah. On. Yeah.
How is the PCT marked if it's not?
There's no markings in the desert. In the Sierras, you're just kind of screwed. And then Oregon and Washington, no, legit. You're like,
oh my God.
Oh, I can't see this trail, so I'll just hope it goes this way. And I have gut hooks, so I
very few as well.
But the section I was on, I mean, I can't speak fully. There were posts with the PCT logo on it, but not as frequently. Not like the trails around here in the Northeast, where it's like if you don't see the next blaze, you know, you should see one from the previous. They were more at crossings.
It's on the AT,
you're
like,
not gonna
you're help. In a forest, you could easily get lost in the trees. You're not, that's not the
but
PCT.
You can actually see where the trail is going, at least on the section that
but
I was
in
on.
Oregon and Washington, when it does get a little more wooded, then there are they're not blazes though, they're little diamonds on the they're this.
For those of you who can't see in podcast land,
it's
the tattoo. We'll
put it in the show notes.
The PCT on her arm. And I have a tattoo of the AT on my arm. So Lauren has this tattoo she got on the PCT.
On the PCT and CDT. I did my whole half sleeve on both trails.
Yeah.
But not
so that's a thing.
AT.
But yeah, no, but to answer your question, do you have a more specific question about hookup culture on the trail?
I mean, I'd say bring, if you're thinking of bringing a condom, bring a condom.
I feel like it's just in case.
Yeah.
You know?
Why not?
I don't want to not have it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better to have
it's
it.
Not like
not
it's a lot of
it.
Weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, okay. They're also waterproof in a pinch
That's
if you need
true.
To protect something.
I got one on my hand.
Gloves. We use them for microphones in the TV world.
Really? Oh,
yes, we do.
Oh my gosh. Tell us more.
That's so funny.
Every audio
That's
person
fantastic.
Has a pack of condoms in their bag just in case it rains.
Wow.
That is awesome.
The more you know.
No idea.
Uh-huh. I think that I have met numerous hikers who have met each other on trail and gone on to have very long-lasting relationships and, you know, have gotten married and changed their whole lives. And then I have known people who have gotten in a relationship and as soon as they got off trail, it was like, what was I thinking? So I think, you know, live in the moment as much as that is comfortable for you. I think.
And be hygienic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do know couples who are on trail who would be like, well, we're getting to town, so you know we're getting our own room, you know, kind of
right.
a thing.
Yeah.
So I think if you're hiking around a couple or if you become, you know, just be like, I'm getting my own room. Like, don't try to share a room with six people and...
Ooh.
Try to just block an hour out for yourselves. Like
I was with a married couple and there were four of us in a room and they're like, yeah, we're just gonna go out a little bit later. And this other girl in the room with, like, I got the hint and she just didn't. And those poor people.
Yeah.
That she stayed in that room with them the whole rest of the time they were there.
Oh, no.
Well, shout out to White Girl, who's a guy that we hiked with. He's amazing. he was our trail buddy from New York. We met him in Maine and then hiked with him from New York to the finish. And we, the three of us would get a, and he was just like, all right, so what's the deal? Like, are we sharing? Are we getting, you're getting your own? Like, or are we doing the thing where I go and I talk to my mom for an hour while you guys check out the route? Like, it was so clear and like cool. And we're like, yeah, let's do that one. He's like, great. Cause he's trying to save money and we're trying, you know, it's, it was the best of both worlds.
Nice. Yeah. Having that good understanding.
That makes sense.
Communicate.
I might have to bail soon.
Yeah. You have an early morning. If you have anything that is super pressing, let us know and we'll prioritize.
Yeah, it's probably too long.
You're around longer before you take off. So.
Oh, that's right.
Happy to answer more. Or maybe it will get asked. We'll cover it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. Night. Thanks for letting me join.
Love you. Bye. Sweet dreams.
Awesome.
All right.
Are you thinking of taking your adventuring to the next level? As you've been hearing, there's a lot to consider when shouldering a backpack and heading out into the backcountry. If you're looking for some personalized guidance on an upcoming solo or small group adventure, Girl Gotta Hike founder Melissa Click Goodwin, that's me, can help keep those butterflies at bay by chatting with you on a one-hour coaching call. Whether you're heading out for a few days, a few weeks, or even a few months, talking one-on-one with someone who's been there before offers invaluable advice to help you organize your trek and your thoughts ahead of hitting the trail. Our convo will be catered to your specific needs, but topics of discussion could include gear selection, meal prep, navigating your way to and from trail, safety concerns, weather conditions, or some of the physical and mental health challenges that may surface when heading out on a long-distance journey. Advanced preparation is key to completing your outdoor goals, and Girl Gotta Hike is available to help get you there. Want to chat? Just head over to the store page on girlgottahike.com to book your one-hour coaching call with me. Click. Have a lot of concerns you want to cover? You can snag 15% off when you purchase three or more sessions by using the code EXTRAHELP at checkout. Again, coaching calls are available for purchase on the store page at Girl Gotta Hike, or just follow the link in the show notes.
So, what was the last thing we were talking about before Haley got off? Oh, trail relationship.
We can move on from that.
Are you two going to keep some specific AT blogs or Instagram posts or anyone doing YouTube while you're out there?
I don't think I want to take video of myself, I've decided. I know I'll look like crap.
It's a lot of commitment, the video, so I'm on the same boat.
Yeah.
But the Instagram is cool. I mean, I have a lot of friends and family that are following it. So it seems like a minimal effort, but maximum impact.
Yeah.
Just, I found that it became a town chore and you're already extremely stressed when you're in town because you have so much to do and so little time. So make sure it doesn't become like a burden.
Mm-hmm. Only post if you want to post, not because you feel like you have to, because you feel like you have to owe it to all these other people back home that are following you. I agree with that.
Yeah. You're going to call the people that really you want to be in touch with, or you're going to message them directly. But, but also if it is something you're really enjoying, like my dad and I, this was way before Instagram, we kept a blog. We were keeping in touch with people at home and, you know, whatever handful of people it was, we're really looking forward to our posts. So that was one of our things that we made time for in town, you know, cause we had to go to the library to log into a computer to do it, you know, so you had to be there while the library was open and all that kind of stuff. So that was kind of a fun thing. And that was something he especially always made time for. Mm-hmm. I sometimes was like, yeah, I'll do it later. And I went and got a burger and a beer. You know? Yeah.
It'll totally vary. Like sometimes I'll be like, oh my gosh, I really want it. Like we did a email list on the AT and sent to like, we collected, I don't know, emails before. I don't know. Instagram wasn't even like the biggest thing in 2016. I mean, I don't, not that I knew of. It was like a couple of people that were known for hiking on trail. But sometimes I got into town, I was like, oh my gosh, I have all the things I want to say and share and post. And then sometimes I got into town, I'm like, I want to share a few photos and I have no words and no energy. And like, I'll just post it with, you know, location or whatever. So don't feel like you have to like it's not a marketing thing.
Unless your girl got a hike.
Right. But your personal journey on your hike is not a marketing.
Totally. I'm kidding.
I think On the note of social media, I know we've talked about this in the last podcast we did, but that goes along with the safety. When you're posting, you can always post days later of the location that you were, you know, a few days before, so that it's not like, here is my exact location now. And maybe that'll mitigate some potential, you know, unwanted attention.
I think that's probably especially easy to do on the AT because you have so much service and you go into town so often.
Yeah,
on the PCT you don't have as much, so is it sort of like everybody's in town and kind of trying to catch up all at once?
Yeah,
so everyone, if you're posting in that town, like everyone knows it, they know where you are.
Should we go back to pace? We were talking about pacing. Tramleys and that kind of stuff.
Do you want to kind of share the question, I guess, that you had before?
Yeah, I guess, like, I know that I go at a slower pace and I feel like I'm going to meet hikers that I want to stay with and hike with, but they may be at a faster pace than I am. So I guess I'm, like, a little concerned about how to juggle both, like, wanting to be with certain people, but also, like, I'm not going to try to kill myself to keep up with them. How do you navigate that on trail?
Yeah, I know that I was often one of the last people into camp every night, but we still ended up at the same campsite often, or I didn't take a lot of days off, but stayed more consistent with my pacing, whereas other people were fast and would hike 25 or 30 mile days, but then take 2 or 3 days off in town. So I ended up always catching back up. So there is a little bit of that leapfrog aspect to it where, or, you know, accordion, sometimes you're farther apart and sometimes you're closer together, but it is hard. Sometimes you think you've been around the same people for a couple weeks at a time, and of course they're going to be there tomorrow. And then maybe they're not. So I think I would just say in hindsight, like if there's anyone who you are friendly with or you've become friends with, like don't get embarrassed to like ask further information, you know, or like something like that, because you might have really enjoyed their company and you just don't know what's going to happen. So I don't know. What do you guys say?
I second that. The towns become like this microcosm of people you've never met before, and you're like, how have I never met you? Like, you've been a mile in front of me this entire time. Or like literally the last week on trail, I met a girl who had started like 2 days before me. I was like, how have I never met you? But also you meet the same people over and over, but then like they'll go off trail for a wedding, and so then they're automatically a week behind you, and you know, they'll get injured or they'll zero 2 days instead of the one. Like, it's really, you might not see these people again ever, or you might see them again in 100 miles or whatever. Like, I will say that at the very beginning when you're starting and everyone's nervous and like it's great to form those friendships, but also you probably, I would say 90% of those people won't finish. And, so it's okay to like hike your own height. Like, it's such a cliche these days, but really do not push yourself harder than you know you can go, because it risks injury and it risks you not having fun and quitting early too. So really just go the pace you want. You will meet people that are like, the trail community is just such a special thing, and unlike real life, everyone kind of looks the same, smells the same. Like, there's none of the social norm like bullshit that you have to cut through. Like, it's just, we're going through the same experience. You just went through that creek crossing that I did, so we automatically have something to talk about, and we are bonded. Like, I have no idea where you're from, what your personal life is, or anything, but we can talk about that one thing, and you have that special bond. So, you know, even if you never see that person again, you're friends, and you remember them, and you're like, oh, yeah, I met so-and-so at that creek crossing that one time, 1,000 miles ago.
And years later, you might
actually run into these people on trail again. I was on the Appalachian Trail leading a day hike this past summer and crossed paths with a through hiker. And anyway, we got to talking. Oh, I hiked in 2011. Oh, my girlfriend is so-and-so. And I'm blanking on her name now, but I was like, oh my God, I knew her. Like it, the world is very, very small. And that was 11 years later. And it was like, oh yeah, we have this bond. I don't know this guy, but we had her in common. We had some other people in common. And it's just like, that very magical thing.
Were any of you part of a tramley?
I was
on and off.
Yeah, on and off.
A lot of the same groups of
Yeah, people. Like, I went into it thinking, like, a tramley is, like, 10 people, and you're, like, together the whole way, and, like, you make decisions by committee, and, like, that's what a tramley is. I don't think it really is. I mean, I still say that I hiked solo, but I hiked with people for an extended period of time and I really enjoyed their company. But when it no longer aligned our schedules or whatever, it was okay to keep going. And then I hiked with more awesome people for another week or two at a time and then just continued that way.
So I was just going to say, great people are just going to pop up too. Like if you have to, you hurt yourself and you have to take a zero and the people you're hiking with go ahead or whatever, like trail provides and like there will be people that pop up and you're like, if that didn't happen, then I wouldn't have known you and all of the things that are like really synchronistic. Yeah. I was going to say that and I was like, is that the word? Is that the term?
Synchronicity is like...
I know. That's what I was going for.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't have met, you know, my trail bestie Sprout if I didn't have to get off trail and go to my grandfather's funeral and be gone for 10 days. And that was awful. But when I came back, we were staying in the same shelter that night and her dad happened to be hiking a week with her and my dad was there. So we had this like father-daughter bond and she happened to have like a t-shirt on from Ithaca, New York. And I was like, Ithaca, we're from New York. And that was it. And I hiked on and off with her for the next month or so. But then we parted ways. We kept in touch, but we didn't finish together. And we saw each other like later in New Hampshire, but it was after the trail that like our friendship continued to just blossom. And we've hiked all these other trails together since. So, you know, even though technically we probably hiked together less than a month, like I would say that's, you know, my best friend from the AT.
I already made sort of tentative plans. One of my best trail friends was from Copenhagen, so I'm gonna go visit her.
Oh, like, awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's great.
Like you, those. Yeah, I'm excited to see her in the real world.
Yeah. So tramleys. Anything else?
My wedding had two hiker tables. It was a party, all hikers at a formal event. who a lot of them haven't seen each other since trail, and a lot of them, because there were the two trails, hadn't met each other, but had heard about each other.
Oh my God.
Oh, it was a party.
Did they clean up nice?
They cleaned up nice and had a very fun time.
Excellent. That's good. Yeah. Let's see. What else you got for us?
But one of the questions that I had was, what's the most common thing you saw in a hiker box?
Oh, oatmeal.
Nobody wants the oatmeal
protein powder, trail mix,
ramen.
Yeah.
Ramen.
Pro tip, never eat trail mix or anything that's in a bag from a hiker box. Anything that's not individually packaged or opened can be opened in any way.
I would say, I think the abundance of oatmeal is that people get sick of the flavors. Mm-hmm. Like some people get sick of oatmeal in total. I never did.
Me either. But maple brown sugar through and through.
I really like the Kodiak cake.
Kodiak is protein.
What is that?
With chocolate chip.
Kodiak is a brand with like protein in it. Yeah.
Oh.
But you can get it at Target.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Or other, you know, regular grocery
stores. This podcast brought to you by Kodiak Cakes at Target.
What was our last one? Brought to Duke's Mayo.
Cholula.
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 Oh, I never did
get a Cholula sponsorship.
I was going for that.
They became not my tenant right then. Like, right around that. I was so banking on
them. I wanted to get a hat.
I know. I legit reached out to the property manager and I was like, hey, can you ask them? And I gave them your whole story about how, like, you're going to be a triple crowner and like you and Henry are on Instagram and like they really hikers like they need really need hot sauce and they really need flavor on trail just because it's such an important thing. I was like, I had this whole marketing pitch for you, and then she goes, oh, they're not our tenant anymore.
Thank you for trying.
You're welcome. I really wanted to get you a hat.
Yeah. I had a trail friend that got a Little Debbie's hat.
Really?
I'm pretty sure sent to her.
Nice.
I don't know how that came to be.
Yeah, you're gonna find some things you can't live without, and then you're gonna find some things you never want to eat again, I think. Yeah.
Couscous.
Oh yeah.
Kathmandu curry from Backpacker Pantry.
I don't think I have anything. It's all coming with. Like I couldn't do peanut butter for a while, but I'm back at it. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you have meal boxes planned? Are you gonna shop along the way, or do you have
any? I'm doing like a mix between the two.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna go full resupply in towns and not just like send any boxes.
Yeah. If I could redo the PCT again, I would do it that way.
But being a vegetarian,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that'll be too hard.
No, actually,
no, you'll be fine.
Easy.
Hold on. If you were vegan, I would say that might be a little harder.
Dehydrated refried beans.
I recently heard about this.
They sell them on Amazon, so you buy them now. They're Santa Fe is the brand. They're in gold package.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast. That is a sponsorship I would die to have. They are fantastic to add to meals oh my gosh.
They're good.
So I would have them in ramen. I would make the refried beans and put it in a wrap. They were great. But that's a lot of good protein that you order it ahead of time, and then you could take like a bag with you, and then you can always, I know you're not doing resupplies, but you can always try and just like, if you're getting something sent from home to
have them at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you can order it online.
Just
split it with some hikers. I think they only sell them in like 10 bags. Yeah. Like that was sort of our issue, but we found some other hikers and like had it sent to a town, and then like just a few of us split them up.
That's a good plan.
But that was, But sorry, just, I know you're vegetarian.
No, so I appreciate that. I was good. Thinking of bringing protein powder on trail also.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. You're going to get sick of it.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get,
Kelly, did you have, I know when we hiked the Wonderland Trail, you had some kind of powder mix.
Green powder?
You added.
Oh, Athletic Greens?
Athletic Greens.
Oh my gosh.
So gross.
No, this podcast should be sponsored by Athletic Greens, really.
That's a sign of a real successful
podcast.
Except
I'm saying it was disgusting.
No.
Don't do it. I mean, it tastes like grass. So yeah. If you can mask it somehow.
But how is your energy?
I tried it one time, and so I can't tell you.
You vomited and then you felt great.
Yeah.
Like in that vein, though, did you guys take any vitamins or like extra supplements with you on trail?
I did. I took a multi. I had a couple of people tell me probably not necessary, but it made me feel better. I took magnesium.
Me too.
Every night, just to help with cramping. And then I took, what's the yellow?
Turmeric.
Thank you.
In the pill form or the
gel form? Okay. Every night, just instead of vitamin I, like I was like, this is natural.
Vitamin I, ibuprofen, if you haven't heard that before.
Did the turmeric work as a substitute?
I think so.
It's a very holistic question.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair question. I don't know, but I also didn't want to not take it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't take much vitamin I, frankly, on the entire trail. Mm-hmm. So I like to think that it was because I was doing other things instead. My pain was mostly my feet just ached, and that's not a ibuprofen fix.
Yeah.
So I really didn't take much.
I would like to second magnesium too.
for muscle recovery. Also, it helped me sleep. It's like it relaxes you, and my digestion was off, and it'll help you.
Helps
you.
It makes you very regular.
Actually, magnesium is magnesium great. Will really help
it
you.
It regulates.
Yeah. Use the bathroom. So start with a low dose. Yeah. I would say.
I knew my morning routine was like perfected, and I knew like. Digging a cat hole.
Lovely
it was it was quite lovely. And I knew if I got up at this time, I was out of camp this time, and I had already dug my cat hole. Like, it was great.
Do you know I didn't poop in the 100-mile wilderness?
For 100 miles?
Oh, but that was the start of yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's normal.
That sounds painful. I would say then the beginning of a backpacking trip, it always takes me a couple of days to get.
Yeah, definitely. It's like it's like the travel poops.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like that. But you just have to walk so much more.
I do have a turmeric drink powder hookup that I could let you in on. Actually, Anjali's Cup is a podcast sponsor for legit. It's a turmeric drink powder.
Cool.
And I will give you all some tonight.
Yeah.
Ooh, so it's really good. Female owned small business owner. And I am bringing it on my next trips because I like to have like a hot drink at night. Mm-hmm. And so this can be mixed in cold or hot water. And in lieu of a pill, I do better with taking less ibuprofen these days. But on the AT, I was popping 9 ibuprofen a day.
Oh, wow.
3 in the morning, 3 at lunch, 3 later. One night I had, I think I had 3 Advil, a glucosamine. Okay. So
ecstasy.
Birth control.
What else? Name all the pills you can think of. Okay, Randy. I feel like it's one of those games.
I was having like a multivitamin, 3 Advil, a glucosamine, which is supposed to be anti-inflammatory for your joints. I took a Benadryl to help me sleep, and then I had a hot tea with a Jameson. And I was like, is this what my life has come to? So
there used to be a term for like backpacking scissor up, right? Scissor up is what it's called. Where it's
scissor?
Like
scissor,
whatever.
I don't know. I'm not cool.
Scissor up,
scissor up,
scissor up.
That's everyone. What it's called from now on.
Yeah, scissor.
That was my scissor. Yeah. And I was like, scissor. Wait, what backpack is happening? Scissor. Chamomile tea, Jameson.
Oh my god.
A whole bunch of Advil. Yeah.
I forgot. I also took a probiotic. Because, I don't know. I feel like all that junk you're eating, it's just something.
So are you bringing, like, bottles of 30? How are you bringing it?
Again, my lovely mom. Shout out to my mom. I had things like my contacts, because I wore daily contacts.
I
highly recommend, because it's so much, you're not using the same, your hands are disgusting, so you don't want it. I don't know if either of you wear contacts, but then never mind.
No, but this is for the listeners at home. Daily contacts.
Daily are so much more hygienic.
And I wore glasses on the AT so that I didn't have to clean my contacts, and that was fine, except when it was rainy and they were just fog up. That was awful.
I wore only contacts for 5 months straight, and I was just recently yelled at by my eye doctor. So maybe bring your eyeglasses.
End up taking them out every complaint? Night?
I took them out every night, but just he was like, that was too long to just wear contacts straight. Oh. So
okay. Too long throughout the day or over time?
Over time. Oh. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
We're learning so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But to your point, so my contacts I would have mailed to me. That was always the most important so that I could see. But then I would also say, hey, mom, put X amount of supplements in with that resupply package and anything else I needed at the time. Mm-hmm. So like I took witch hazel and like sunscreen, whatever top off that I needed. I did not do a bounce box.
So
yeah, that's the other option is a bounce box. So you mail yourself a package to the next town or to 4 weeks from now. Mm-hmm. So you could have like a 500 count of...
And just keep mailing it forward.
If you are going to do that kind of bounce box thing, you want to also make sure you have a roll of tape and then remember to put them back in the box before you're done taping them. Because there were plenty of times we had to reopen the box to put the tape back. So like put the little strips of tape on the side of the table at the post office, then close it all up.
Yeah.
But if you are using the USPS, if you send it priority and you get to that next town and you're like, I actually don't need to pick this up yet, you can mail it for free again to the next town.
You just can't accept it.
Yeah.
Just say, I'm not accepting that package. Thank you very much. I would like you to forward it.
But if you send it parcel post or you send it any first class, you would have to pay then again to mail it forward. So take those extra couple bucks. I mean, the USPS does a really pretty good job with all of that, I have to say. I didn't know these things, like you could send yourself something to a town, care of general delivery, till I did the AT, you know.
I appreciate the USPS now.
Definitely.
I bought a lot of stamps just because I was like, they need to stay alive.
That's right. Go support your local post office. Go send a snail mail letter. USPS. This is our first government sponsor. Coupon.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So mail drops, food, clothes, social aspect. I mean, there's just so much fun you guys are going to have. And there is a lot to think about ahead of time. There are a lot of Instagram feeds to watch and YouTube videos and blogs, and it can totally be overwhelming. And I would say there's no best one thing of anything. Like, what you've got is going to suffice. And if it doesn't, you're going to find something else. I switched out gear 3/4 of the way through. I had had that experience then of seeing what everybody else had used for all those miles. And I got to really ask questions like, oh, why do you like this? And why are you wearing that? And then it really helped inform my decision without actually having to buy it for myself first.
But both of you have already done, it sounds like, a lot of shakedown of your gear, which I think is just kind of paramount to knowing what's right for you.
Yeah, I think you and I had completely opposite trail prep in that you prepped and I didn't.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I think like also, you know, you both and Haley have us as resources. I knew no one who hiked the AT before I hiked the AT. Like, I didn't have these conversations. Like, everything that I'm sharing with you on all three trails, I learned as I went along. So all of this, consider it extra information. You know what I mean? Like, you'll be fine without us, too.
Even the things, I did a lot of prep. But even the things that I thought I knew, I most definitely did not.
You just learned on trail.
So you just, it's like when you go out of college, you think you know everything, and then you go and work in your real job and you know absolutely nothing. It's exactly the same thing. And you learn it as you go.
Kelly, what's the thing that surprised you the most? Like you thought, or is there anything like, I've got this down, and then you got out there and...
Yeah, as I just said that, now I have to come up with an example. I think like what I said earlier about that I would just do resupply shop everywhere I went instead of sending myself boxes forward. One, it's really stressful to figure out how many calories you need for 5 days in the first place. So you have to go shop for that stretch. But then this is on the PCT. You often mail your food forward from a town to another town. So you're doing 5 days and then another 5 days. And it was just very stressful, the logistically of figuring that out. And sometimes it was like 2 or 3 towns ahead, a lot of food to buy. And
that's because you're just so much more remote on that trail.
Correct. Right? And in Oregon, you don't go into actual proper towns. You're at these little lake resorts, which are really just like kind of nice campgrounds and maybe a rustic hotel kind of thing. So you send yourself a box. But all of these places, they know the hikers are coming, and so they stock up on all the things you're going to need to buy. And so it's fine. Yeah, it might be a little bit cheaper if you mail it forward, but actually after the shipping and whatnot, like it's probably pretty even, and it's a lot less stressful to just buy it on trail.
There were lots of little gear tweaks that I made as I started to. Like, I had this like floppy sun hat. Again, this I started in a desert, so I thought I'd be wearing this floppy sun hat, and then I ended up sending that home.
I did the same thing on the PCT. I was like, I hate this, because then the wind would blow
it. The wind would blow it off.
I hated it. It actually permanently took the shape of being folded up, because I would just strap it to the top of my pack. I just didn't. I wound up not wearing it.
I learned how to cinch it so that it couldn't fly off.
Oh, yeah. You had dealt with a lot more wind there.
Even given all of the prep I did, I wasn't prepared for the wind in the desert. So definitely know the weather. Like, I don't know how I missed that. And it was such a big thing.
You said tweaking gear. And I think that that's something kind of fun about being out there is, like, you can make do. You don't have a lot with you, but if you need something, like, just ingenuity kicks in and you're like, okay, I've got some duct tape, there's a stick, you know. Our tent pole snapped and it was going to be 3 days until we could get a new one shipped somewhere, and so we made a splint for our tent by taking the stick and duct taping it every night, and it worked. And so, like, you're going to come up with some great ideas, and you're going to also think they're, like, super genius, and you're going to come home and actually, like, turn these into products, and, like, that's never going to happen. But you, like, you can surprise yourself. It's kind of fun.
What? this is actually something. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you
off. No, go on.
Yeah, it's called a
piss game.
It's called a piss game.
One more time. A piss cape. Like a superhero
cape. Piss cape into nature. This is not even a trail thing. It's not a three-hiker thing.
What
just happened at the Dollar General up here in the Catskills? And so I bought it because I needed a poncho. And it was so big. They only had like a giant yellow poncho. But what I realized, I was with Henry and two of my guy friends, and we were like scouting out this hike. But I realized, oh, I can actually just pull down my shorts and pee right in front of them without anyone seeing by just putting on my piss cape. So just piss cape.
Piss cape. I love it.
So another reason for the poncho. It comes back to the poncho.
It all comes back. I think I'm going to take a poncho. I'm sorry. That's like four uses for one piece of
gray. Isn't that great? A private bathroom. And you can call it a pisscape.
Just don't let it splash. It's like glass, but it's like, you know, frosted.
Oh, great. So it's frosted. It's like a frosted shower curtain. Frosted, it's like where you can't really see.
Yeah. You can see the color, but not the shape.
It's like pixelated, kind of.
Oh my God.
Grandma Gatewood, the first woman ever to through hike the Appalachian Trail,
had a piss cape.
She had a shower curtain.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
She's so smart.
She's badass. Such
a, yeah. She used that as a piss cape.
She did. She did. For sure. For sure. She knew what was up. I know it.
Yeah.
Sorry, you said genius ideas.
That is a genius idea. I agree. No, I'm thinking of, why don't I have a poncho, actually?
A piss cape, yeah.
Why don't I have a piss cape?
You should get one. It's only $1 in your local Dollar General.
Yeah, I've never been in so many Dollar Generals in my life.
Right?
Yeah, as in small towns along the AT.
I will say the AT lends itself to being a very, for it being a long hike where you're not working, it's definitely more affordable. You definitely can get food for cheap between the stores and between hiker boxes, and you can do that trail on more of a budget, you know.
If you want to, you can also get your own hotel room.
That's right.
You can pisscape from
you can pisscape into your real into your own suite.
Do a real
MC Suites Hotels. A sponsor of this podcast. We have a lot of folks to reach out to after this. Would you like, you know, we already mentioned you. Would you like to?
This is part of my plan for Girl Gotta Hike. For sure. Actually, like, try to find some.
For sure.
Maybe not athletic greens. None of them are competitors.
What's that?
Not athletic greens.
No, I don't know. Sorry. I haven't tried them myself, so we'll see.
Yeah. They seem to sponsor any podcast, so.
The shade.
They do. They just across the board. Oh, your like, podcast, Athletic Greasy, would throw money look, at you.
I use the same microphones as Tim Ferriss. I can also have the same Athletic Green sponsorship as Tim
That's
Ferriss.
That's right.
So. What's the other? It is well past hiker midnight. We all did a hike today, and
girl got to sleep.
Yeah. Any last burning questions?
No, I'm good. I'm really, yeah, really excited. All. Thank you for your help and advice.
Yeah. And you two hikers over here, any parting words of advice for some up and coming freshman class?
You're going to crush it. I can't wait to trail magic you, trail angel you in our area in New York. Yeah. See you out there.
Where will you be in April? Because I'm going to be in
Georgia.
Oh, I'm going to be in Georgia.
Still be in Georgia still for there. Sure.
Maybe still on the approach
you might
trail.
Be in Georgia.
That's what I mean. I'm going to be in Georgia in April.
We'll be around.
Yeah,
that's so cool. We're only starting 2 days apart from each other.
Yeah. Oh, you'll see each other.
For
that's
sure.
So cool.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, I just want to say, let me give a shout out to Delaware Dave Nobo 2011, who would leave notes in the logbooks in all of the lean-tos. And his sign-off was always like, could be the best day ever. He had such a positive attitude. It's just like 50% rain, 50% not. So keep that in mind. And then the other thing is that the former owner of the Hiker Hostel in Dahlonega, Georgia, dropped us off at the Springer Mountain Trailhead and said, just remember, bad decisions make good stories.
Love that.
You'll get to tell some tales for years to come.
Just make sure they're not life-threatening.
Yes.
Yeah. Semi-bad.
If you can help it.
Yeah. I would like to make a request that once you're done with trail, we do another one of these.
Follow up.
Story
and
time.
Done now with trail in whatever capacity that means. You know, there's also like if you hate it, no shame. Mm-hmm. You know, we think you'll go all the way, but you know, if it's not your thing, that you'll learn. You know, like if you want to quit, it's okay.
It is. I actually think that's really worth saying.
Okay, good.
If you don't like it,
completely fine. Sure. I mean, I think, you know, just know when you're done. You know, whether it's at the end.
Well,
or...
I would say the goal for me has always been the start.
That is what I
make it to the start.
On.
Anything after that is a bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I told multiple people that on trail because you had
you
told
did.
Me. Because I really, it's so true. Because you have to quit your
you have
regular
to do
life
so much, so much. Like, I don't like the word sacrifice because I don't think it's that. I think it's just like change and choice. So much choice that's like against what a lot of people do in the world to like start trail. So, yeah, that's
I think
huge.
That's good advice. Mm-hmm. Well, signing off from Girl Gotta Hike North, aka Pine Hill. Thanks for coming.
Good night.
Happy hiking.
Or good morning if it's morning when you're listening or whatever. I don't know.
That's going to be the outtake.
Right. Good afternoon.
Alyssa, Haley, and Michaela, I am so excited for you all to be taking off on an adventure on the Appalachian Trail this season. Or this week, for the two of you who've already started at Springer Mountain. It has been awesome to guide you on the local trails here in New York, and a real honor that you've entrusted Girl Gotta Hike enough to help you take this backpacking thing to the next level. You've really put in the groundwork to prepare yourselves for the long haul, and I hope that spirit of excitement and exploration keeps shining bright for you all along the way. Lauren Woodchuck and Kelly Noseum, it's always a blast when we get together and talk trail, even if my face hurts a bit afterwards from all the laughing. Thank you so much for bringing your stories into the mix on this episode. The experience of thru-hiking is a common bond between us all, but there's no one way to be successful at it. Your insights are invaluable in showing other hikers how they can craft their own individual journeys. And major thanks to you, dear listeners, for taking the time to talk some trail with us today. If this episode left you longing for even more long-distance stories, advice, and laughter, then you'll want to check out the Girl Gotta Hike podcast archives. Episode 13 is the first Q&A session featuring Kelly and Lauren as guests, while episodes 1 and 17 are chock full of tales with even more thru-hikers, including my trail bestie Sprout and good friend Harvest. And episodes 19 and 24 will give you a taste of what it feels like to actually be out there hiking a long-distance trail. Links to all are in the show notes. I truly appreciate that you have taken the time to lend your ears this way, If this or any other episode has helped inspire you to get out and explore, then please travel over to Apple Podcast and leave us an awesome comment. Good reviews help spread the word about Girl Gotta Hike and help me to help others head out for adventure. Girl Gotta Hike connects women with nature, confidence, and camaraderie through guided hikes and backpacking trips from New York City to the Catskills and beyond. Looking to head out on a custom-crafted trip of your own? Then be sure to click on the Hire a Private Guide tab over at girlgottahike.com to let me know what kind of adventure you're aiming to take. Custom trips are open to all and are perfect for those wanting to celebrate milestones, have a family adventure, or check off those bucket list hikes like the Devil's Path, Catskill 3500 Peaks, or sections of the Appalachian Trail. Seeking out some hiking besties? Then click on the event schedule and sign up for a group hike instead. You can head to trail without having a car on the monthly public transit series hikes, or go further afield with your new hiking friends on group hikes in the Hudson Valley and the Catskills. While there, you can also check out some handy blog posts and sign up for my monthly-ish newsletter. You can also follow me on Instagram at Girl Gotta Hike or on the Girl Gotta Hike Facebook page. Until next time, happy hiking!
I'm very wrong. It's just friction.